Hello and welcome to another interview on GivingCirclesHelp.com, where we're compiling information and interviews from people around the country who are running their own giving circles. And our purpose is to learn from each other and continuously improve our ability to make an impact with our giving. Today, I'm speaking with Evelyn Kermanek, who is the founder of the Staten Island Giving Circle that was founded in 2008. Evelyn, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
So would you start by giving us an overview of the Staten Island Giving Circle?
Sure. In January 2008, I decided for a New Year's resolution that I could fit one more bit of volunteerism on my plate, and I decided to call or contact some friends from my book club, tennis circle, neighborhood, and we would just get together socially and try to brainstorm some ideas for outreach for our community. So I did that. We got about 24 people for cake and coffee, and we talked about how we could help our community. And we decided that gathering each month and thinking each person contributing an idea for an initiative plus some sort of monetary fundraising to give to organizations would be good. So we did indeed come up with a few projects the very first time, and we collected $10 for a chance. At the end of the meeting, I offer these $10 chances, and you can buy certainly as many as you want. The pot is then given to the winner. We draw a winner. At that time, it was one winner. Now we do two because the pot gets to be sometimes $700 for a month. The two winners choose the charities of their choice, and that money is sent to those charities. And to date, we have given away $60,000, or a little more than $60,000 that way. And we try to keep most of the organizations local, but we do national and international organizations such as cancer, lupus, MS, Alzheimer's, but also local chapters of those. And then we've just moved forward with those ideas, and we have now kind of homed in on seniors and children as a couple focal points of where we donate our time, energy, donations, money, and that should give you a base idea of what we do.
Okay. So I want to find out a little bit more about your raffle program, because it's such an interesting way that you donate money. So a couple of things I want to clarify is you're not collecting money for donating outside of this raffle, right? So whatever you donate at the end of the raffle is what was raised during the raffle. Is that correct?
That's right.
So as many
absentee people can certainly participate. If you're not coming to the meeting, sometimes people see me and say, put $10 in for me for October's meeting. You can contribute on the website, or you can contribute in absentia, but mostly it's people who are right there at the meeting.
Okay. So they can buy their raffle tickets outside of the meeting if they need to. But if they're at the meeting, you can buy as many raffle tickets as you want. They all
right.
go into the pot, and then you pull a raffle ticket out, and or two raffle tickets out. And
two.
The winner, whoever's number are pulled, they get to choose where they want to donate the money.
That's right. That's
so a couple of questions for you. Do you have you ever had the case where the same person's ticket has been pulled?
Yes, and they have a choice then to pass it on to someone else, or they can certainly choose again. We've had instances, it's a joke almost. We have one original member who's never won. And then you'll have somebody who's won three times. But the choices are always well received, and we concur usually with what these people are choosing. So, you know, there's no controversy over that.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that, because one thing that you mentioned is that you tend to keep your charities local. But if members can choose whoever they want, is it just that there's kind of an understanding that we want to try and keep it local?
That's our mission, really.
Yeah.
But for the money part of it, we have given to almost any organization you can think of, nationally and internationally. But again, the preponderance is local. So they'll give to food pantries here on Staten Island, the Mental Health Society, Avon Breast Walk. We have girls who participate in that. Have a Heart Foundation of Staten Island. Autism. We have several organizations on Staten Island that focus on autism. But we do get those who decide on Share Our Strength is one. Let me think. Wounded Warrior Project, we've done a lot with them. Juvenile Diabetes. Then the standard ones you would think of, Leukemia and Lymphoma, that's a local chapter, though. A Regional Burn Center. Then Cancer, MS, Lupus, St. Jude, Safe Horizon. And let me think, who else? And Salvation Army, that's, of course, local chapter.
Mm-hmm.
On Your Mark is for special needs. But it's a nice mix, and we have been able to keep the majority of everything local. Because most of those national organizations, too, have local chapters.
Mm-hmm.
We also did international. We did Water for People, somebody chose. We also have a Haitian school that we support and some orphanages in Slovakia.
And you've mentioned that generally people support the charities that are chosen, that there's not a lot of hard feelings there or wish
never.
I went someone else.
Never, never.
Okay. And you've mentioned you are not a 501c3. So
right.
Can you share with us a little bit about how you manage handling money from people?
Well, those collections, it's $10, $20, $30 at a time. So we make that collection. I deposit it. I do have a Staten Island Giving Circle checking account. And then I write checks to the organizations that were chosen. The reason we, to date, have chosen not to be a 501c3, and I do understand all the benefits that come with that, is because keeping track of $10, $20 donations would be absolutely a voluminous amount of paperwork. I have looked into it thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in my life, I didn't want to build an empire. We just want to be kind of a grassroots group. And the paperwork and the fact that it would be all-consuming, and this is supposed to be a retirement thing for me, not another 33-year job.
Mm-hmm.
So we've chosen not to do that.
And it's working for you, so you're happy
it
with
is.
It. Yeah,
it is.
Okay.
I understand that we could certainly garner more money if we did that, but no one pushes for that, and they seem content with kind of being middle of the road here.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a lot of overemphasis on the tax deduction status. It's never been an issue for our charity or our giving circles either. Most people don't even itemize their tax returns, surprisingly. And it's not that much money that people feel like it's necessary.
And what I tell everybody, and they seem to agree with it, I did have one woman ask me, and she was giving $10 a month, but it's not for everybody. If that bothers a person, that probably isn't the best way to contribute to the group, but you can do it in other ways. You can contribute your time, or you can contribute food, you can tack on to any of our other projects. But what I often say to them is, it is very unlikely that you'll sit down every month and write a check for $10 to a different organization.
Mm-hmm.
This way, the way we do it, you can give your $10, and it might be, you know, you might be the winner, and so it's augmented that many more times, and you've given to something every month,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I take care of the paperwork,
mm-hmm.
and you still are contributing. But it's very unlikely for any of us to sit down and write $10 a month,
mm-hmm.
To another organization. So this kind of forces you, but it's not mandatory.
Yeah, in a fun, community-oriented way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit like gambling, you know, mm-hmm. put it in and see what happens. So they like that. And they're very pleased that they are able to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of those other activities, because I could tell from your website that you guys are doing a lot more than just getting together once a month to run a raffle. Could you talk a little bit about it?
Oh, sure. We do have a number of initiatives going at the same time. And again, what I emphasize, because now our numbers are in the 200s members, not everybody is going to donate to every single thing, but they all find a way. We're big on, especially in a big city like this, we have huge problems with people living on the fringe, the seniors, with food, and then the poorer communities. Food is a huge issue, so we're forever collecting for the pantries and the soup kitchens. And now we've just started an initiative where we provide lunch once a month towards the end of the month for a huge senior citizen residents, because they kind of run out of money towards the end of the month. So the Giving Circle provides this luncheon and a day of activities, bingo, and card games, and the winners of those games get food prizes from us. We'll give them laundry detergent, paper products, which are not covered by food stamps,
mm-hmm.
So bags of food prizes. So the senior citizen and the food issue is huge. Then we provide bi-monthly birthday parties for children at the homeless shelter. The next one is this coming Thursday. We provide cake and beverages and snacks. We play games with the children, spend time with them, and then, of course, they're very much looking forward to their birthday bags. So
mm-hmm.
we give them bags of birthday presents, which usually include a toy, a piece of clothing, shoes, books, school supplies.
Mm-hmm.
We just completed an initiative where we collected 300 backpacks and filled them all with school supplies and distributed them between two very needy communities for kids going back to school. Each year, this will be our fourth or fifth year, probably fourth, collecting prom attire for inner city kids. This year, however, we're going to keep it more on Staten Island. We collected 497 prom dresses in 2012, and they're dry cleaned and altered if necessary. And the young ladies, there's a venue in Manhattan where they can go choose their prom dress.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to keep the preponderance of that here this year, because we found that the schools on Staten Island were calling us looking for help for these girls.
So okay.
Shoes are another huge issue that people don't realize. Shoes in every country, it's a huge issue. So one of our merchants, local merchants, has given us 650 new pairs of shoes to distribute locally, and then some of them were sent abroad also. It's probably not well known that children in Iraq can't go to school unless they have shoes. So we sent 24 cases of shoes to Iraq. We've sent shoes to the Philippines for the children on the street there, because one of our members is from the Philippines. And I can say that we have someone representing almost every country in the world in our group. So we had slippers for Sri Lanka, because we had someone representing that. And the Philippines, Mexico. Oh, who else? We have, let me think. Almost anybody you can mention. We have a lot of Eastern European girls. One is from Romania. Then we have the Slovak connection. So we have opportunities to help outside our own community as well. And then I spoke at St. John's University. Those kids were doing service projects for part of their subject work, and I told them that a big thing they could do, or a big issue they could address, is underwear. And of course they all thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But homeless people, adults and children, need socks and underwear. So we've had huge initiatives to and got mountains of socks and underwear that we've distributed. Let's see what else.
Now, I know that in some ways donating money is easier, because time is in short supply for many people. And so I'm curious, what is important to the group about doing all of these really amazing extra activities? Why do you guys do it?
Well, I think, and I always say this, I'm not from New York. So slapping money on a project was something new to me. We were more likely to get in there and dirty our hands and get things done. It is easier to slap money on it, but it's also hard to keep asking, because what happens is the same people keep surfacing if they have money to donate, and I do have several donors. I have a few donors who, what they'll do money-wise is match the whatever is collected in the pot each month. Let's say I get $500. And we did once for suicide prevention, because someone in our group had a terrible tragedy in the family. I thought that was a good one to ask for matching funds.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 4 or 5 times a year I can get matching funds from someone that way, corporate funds. But I do have very generous young women who don't have time to attend the meetings, but who can give me maybe $500 at a time. And they do that occasionally. But it's the same little pool of people, and I don't think it's fair to do that. And this way everyone gets to participate and choose. I'll give you another example. There's a lady across the street. We do knitting and crocheting for the Special Olympics. She can do that. She can't necessarily give me $200 or $300 at a time,
mm-hmm.
but she can make 20 or 30 scarves for that project,
mm-hmm.
or pillowcases for the children in the hospital. Everyone has different skills. There's one woman who actually doesn't contribute to the raffles and isn't available to come to the meetings. She gives us tons. I don't know where she gets them. Inserts from the newspapers that have coupons,
mm-hmm.
that we use to buy food for the food pantries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's her contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is able or willing to give money time after time. And they enjoy the hunt, I guess. They like to go shopping for school supplies, baby supplies. At Christmas time, we usually buy for infants. So I think they feel better about it. It is easier to give money if you have it, but this way you feel more participatory, I think.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But it also takes a lot of time to organize it. So how do you guys manage all of these projects?
I have the email list, and I inundate them, and they mention this quite often, that I send these blanket emails. And then, of course, at the meeting, I reinforce whatever we're doing by, I give a little spiel at the beginning of each meeting. But I just continue, I'm on them all the time. Okay, this time, what we're looking for, actually October and November, I'm looking for them to bring their spare pennies, and we're going to use that towards the food, and then they're bringing food, and what's the other collection? Coats. We're starting the winter coat thing. Every year we collect coats for the homeless. And there's another one for October. We've collected gently used Halloween costumes for the children at the homeless shelter. There are over 100 children. And what's the other thing there to be? Oh, marbleized composition books. Because we have two schools that are desperate for those composition notebooks, so we hope to get a mountain of those. And they like to go get this stuff, I guess.
Do you have, like, a group of people who you can count on to help you? Or like, do you have a leadership or a board portion of this giving circle?
We haven't to date, but within the last couple of months, there are four of them, I think, that have surfaced to try to streamline and take charge. We have a team that goes to the homeless shelter for those birthday parties. We have a team working to organize the senior luncheons. And we are trying to streamline a little. There is one woman in particular who concentrates on going into the Black community with food, and there are maybe a half dozen young women who have taken charge a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned in one of your, as you were talking about one of your projects, that one of the schools would call you looking for stuff. So what is your interaction with the community? Do they know about you? Do they seek you out?
We're becoming more well-known day to day, and we've appeared in the newspaper several times. That's how they learn about us, or, of course, the website, and a big part of it is word of mouth. And we've had calls from the nurses at school and some of the parent coordinators at school. If they know of a family in dire need or a particular child, or if a piece of equipment, we got a call last year for, There was a girl in one of our public schools who needed a piece of equipment, cerebral palsy. In order for her to stay in school, she needed a particular kind of wheelchair, so they looked for us for funding or to scare up the piece of equipment, which mm-hmm. we're always able to do. We had one man who has ALS in the community, needed a customized stair lift. So who called me for that? Someone heard about us. It's in the paper very often now, the Giving Circle, and we've received a number of awards, community awards, so they hear about us, and the word gets passed around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Evelyn, we're approaching the end of our time here, so I wanted to check in with you. Is there anything I forgot to ask you about or you want to talk about now?
I can just say that the majority of our group is women, but we do have maybe a dozen men, and we're trying to think of projects that where the men could contribute more. We had them make some picnic tables for the homeless shelters, and they can do some of the food stuff, and we're hoping to include them more as we go along. And let's see what else. We have, in April, we do a specialty month. It's called Dining Out Against Hunger. It's a community effort. So we participate in that. And in August, we have an ice cream social that is a little special. And then December, the holiday dinner meeting. So and we do an international potluck dinner because we are so diverse. We've done that a couple of times with great success. So lots of just good, solid grassroots ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so impressed with your above and beyond service to your community and your commitment to your Giving Circle. I know that these projects are not easy. They might seem easier to you because I imagine you've been doing them for a long time, but for those of us out there without your experience, I think it's quite impressive.
It's really fun, and it's so much better than buying a new, pair of shoes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If you think, oh, every time I go out to dinner, I enjoy it, but I'm thinking, oh, so many people don't ever get to do this, so we got to at least keep them fed and clothed and make people more aware. Staten Island happens to be probably one of the more prosperous boroughs of New York, and people tend to think, you know, there's no underbelly here, but there is, and there's plenty of people to help, and we need to educate people on volunteerism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one other thing I want to mention, too, we've gotten a great deal of support and awards, really, from Cabot Creameries in Vermont. I won a trip, a cruise through them in 2011, and on board were 50-some other volunteers from around the country. And that was just a wonderful experience, and they invited me back this year as a returning, they called it celebrity community volunteer. And we just got back from Alaska, where another 40-some people were on board who have special projects going, and we brainstorm and network, and Cabot Creameries can't be thanked enough. It's a co-op, a farmer's co-op in Vermont. Have you heard of Cabot cheese?
No. How do you spell that?
C-A-B-O-T.
Okay.
And then Creameries. And if you look the next time you go in the store, you might be able to find Cabot cheese, yogurt, butter. They're huge on volunteerism. And I bet your radio stations will know about them because they do these promotions, radio, magazines, through the media.
Mm.
Okay. So look them up, Cabot Creameries.
Well, I'll give them a link in the blog as well as
absolutely.
In this entry so you can share the word about what they're doing.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be the highlight because I they're instrumental in pushing us along and all the other volunteers in the United States.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do so. Well, Evelyn, thank you for setting the bar so high and showing us what is possible when you're really committed to a life of service. So thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Oh, you're welcome.